Hey, as you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to give you an overview of this chapter as we get into it. The theme of it is motivation. Motivation. There's a lot of things motivate people to do the things they do, and we're going to find out what motivates the believer tonight as we start into this chapter. As we look, the key verse is verse 7, where it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. We can't see it coming. We just believe it is. And if God says he's going to do something, we believe God. And we have no problem with that. At least I've never met a Christian that loves the Lord has a problem with believing God can. And I know that some folks say, "Well, I don't think God can. I love Jesus." Well, listen, if you'd quit going after hippie Jesus and go after the Bible Jesus, you'd believe God.
Amen.
Now, there is a difference. Hippie Jesus ain't the Bible Jesus. You do know that, right?
Right.
All right, so we look in this chapter. We've got 21 verses, 487 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever in our King James Bible. And in this chapter, we jump down to a 7.9 grade level. So that's almost 8th grade. Well, if you 13 and you want to be 14, you 13 and a half. That's you going to say, "I'm 13 and a half, right?" Well, this ain't quite 8th grade, so we're going to call it what it is, 7.9. We're not grading on the curve tonight. We're grading according to accuracy. Amen. Now, as we look tonight at the outline of this chapter, the first 16 verses deal with the believer's information. And it's some things that God informs us of through the Apostle Paul. It'll help us out. And the last part of the chapter, verse 17 down to verse 21, deals with the believer's transformation. The believer's transformation. When God saves a sinner, he changes them. And he transforms them. Not we transform ourselves. But if you look tonight in verse 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." It says, "If so, that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked." Now, I couldn't preach verse 3 in most churches nowadays. But I'm preaching this one. And listen, we ought to be able to preach it in all of them because of what it's talking about.
Right.
And by what it's talking about, I want to preach to you tonight on don't die naked.
Amen.
Don't die naked. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our hearts and lives. Help us look earnestly at the Word of God, Lord, we may see what you say, and let that sink into us and help us. And, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll do a great work, Lord. Help me as I preach. Help us as we listen tonight. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, the instruction is don't die naked. Don't die naked. That means have some clothes on.
Amen.
The importance of clothes, I cannot overstate this. And this has nothing to do with the message I'm going to preach, but I'm going to get it out since we've already said the word naked and clothes together. There are two types of people that need to put on clothes and cover it all up. Them that look good and them that don't.
Amen.
Cover it up.
Amen.
Cover it up. One makes you sin by lust, and the other one makes you sin by being sick looking at it. So cover it up, all of it.
Come on.
And make sure it stays covered up.
Amen.
And as we look tonight in the Word of God, now we deal with the real thing here about clothes. We see the future of our clothes in verse number 1. He points out, "For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," he says, "we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." As we look at the future of our clothes, he's showing us that what he's going to talk about here is not your clothes that you're wearing tonight or any clothes that you can have on this earth, but he's describing our soul. You and I are born into this world, and Job says it best that naked I came into this world, naked I shall return, right? Something like that. Well, guess what? That's where your soul's born too. Your soul's naked when it comes to this world. And when it comes to this world, your soul is clothed to something called the flesh. And one day, that earthly house will dissolve. It'll be gone.
Right.
And if a man or woman were to die and die lost, they die naked.
Right.
Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Right.
If somebody dies lost, to be absent from the body, they'll be in hell immediately. Mm-hmm. And that soul will never burn up in hell. It'll constantly be in torment, and it'll constantly be naked.
Right.
And I know that when he's describing our soul is naked except that flesh over us. But here's the good news for you tonight. Saved souls have clothing.
Right.
Saved souls, not lost souls, saved souls. The Bible says over in Isaiah 61, you may want to write this down so it'll help you out. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He hath clothed me with what? The garments of salvation, the robe of righteousness. Jesus Christ done that thing. You listen, he saw your naked soul through that flesh, and when you got saved, he came along and covered you with that robe of righteousness.
Right.
You didn't have sense enough to put on clothes, and the future of your clothes looks like this. He's put something on you because he knows one day that flesh is going to fall off. It's going to go down to the dirt where it came from. It's going to dissolve and go back to where it came from, and it's going to be there until the resurrection. But until said time, he's got you covered.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that.
Amen.
After a bout with pneumonia, I like hearing about wearing clothes and staying warm and all that. Amen and amen.
Right.
But I notice he talks about the future of our clothes. He says that it's coming with that we're going to have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm glad to know that one day God's going to outfit us with something that'll fit right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Come on.
I'm glad of that. I'm glad he listened. You ever heard that song, "He Knows My Name"? He also knows your size.
Right.
Some of you under conviction right now. He knows your size, thank God. But see, that's good if he knows it. He's not likely to tell everybody, and it'll be prepared perfectly for you.
Right.
We got a prepared address up in heaven, a mansion there, and also we got something else we get there. We're going to have prepared clothing. It's already on you now if you say that robe of righteousness, and then the garments of salvation is mentioned by Isaiah. But we got the future of our clothes. You ever get in these things where you go to somewhere to get your clothes and you go in and they come up to you and they do this to me all the time. They say, now you take about a medium. No, let's not kid one another. Let's go get on to the extra side of this thing. I know you're trying to make me feel good and all that, but I don't want to feel good. I want to buy clothes. I learned some things about buying clothing, and this is number one on the list. I found out fat people never die. Never done. So how do you know? Because I've looked for suits at Goodwill for 20 years now, and I've never found one in my size. I go to my doctor, he says, "People your size die early." I said, "Not according to the Goodwill. They ain't up there. They ain't never been up there." And if you do find something there, it'd be a miracle, I believe. But I notice this, you go in there, you can't ever find the fat people clothes in the Goodwill store, but I can find all you skinny folk clothes up there. Y'all must die regular.
Yeah.
Die early, die often, die young, and everything else.
Mm.
But I noticed that us fat people, the fatter you are, less you got to worry about, because they ain't taking any Goodwill clothes for our size, are they?
Yeah.
Wonder why that is. But listen to me. The future of our clothing with God looks like this. You ain't got to worry about it. He's already got the garment prepared. And when God saves a sinner, that garment fits. And Isaiah pointed out that garment's a salvation. And he also points out in the Psalms there and there's other places about the armor of God. Ephesians talks about the armor of God, and that truly is part of it. And each piece put on with prayer. And listen, you got to have something under that armor to make it work right, and that's that robe of righteousness. He keeps us clothed. I'm glad, thank God, when it comes to the fatherhood of God over his people, that he keeps us in clothing. Boy, I like that.
Amen.
Listen to this. Secondly, I want to show you something in verse 2. Look down at verse 2. He says, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Why do we groan about that? Because we look at the failure of our clothes. Now you're going to relate with me.
Well,
here's how. Number one, our flesh is not saved yet.
Right.
I've heard people say, "Well, I believe I can lose my salvation." No, your flesh can't live up to it.
Right.
Your soul got converted. You got saved. But your flesh ain't been saved yet.
Yeah, right.
Now listen to this. Everybody wants to argue this stuff, but here's the final argument. Eternal life is still eternal life. When Jesus said, I come and give them eternal life and they shall never perish, he meant that thing. John chapter 10. But here's the problem people don't realize. They think because they're saved now, that includes the flesh. It's your soul that got saved. And if you'll take a quick inventory of yourself, you realize when you sin that your flesh is not saved, it's your soul that's saved.
Right.
Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know what your flesh does? It can't find its way to that door right there. It's got 1,000 excuses. Everything's going wrong. There's this, there's this, there's this. And if the flesh made a list of why we can't live for God, it'd stretch from here to the road. But say, flesh, isn't it right to do that? Oh, yes, it's right to do it. I just can't.
Come on.
See, that flesh don't want to do it. But that saved soul says, yeah, we can do it, man. Listen, God so loved the world, and the scriptures will come, and there'll be things that come up. And the soul is saved. Listen, hey, when you've been born again, listen, that spirit's no longer dead inside you. That spirit's been made alive. It's been quickened. And listen, the Holy Spirit's there. And they don't dwell in the flesh either. They dwell inside the soul.
Yep.
Isn't that something? Everybody tries to say, well, I can prove such saved by this and this. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Until that person's gutted and you see that soul and see that robe of righteousness on it, I doubt you can tell anything about them because people are so wishy-washy nowadays.
Right.
And it comes back down to this. There are certain things about a person to say they saved. There's just certain things. But here's the bottom line. If you're looking for that flesh to perform salvation, you're looking in the wrong area because it won't. And here's the bad thing about that flesh. The devil knows what I'm telling you, and that's right. He'll get somebody to perform well in front of you to think they're saved, so you won't give them the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if I thought tonight that everybody that ever preached to was saved and I got them preached to them. Well, y'all look like a bunch of Christians. Y'all are in church. Y'all must be Christians. You're sitting in church furniture. You must be Christians. But listen, your clothes are failing. So maybe you're not perfect like I thought you was. Well, listen, I know this. I just preach the gospel and preach the Bible and let God take care of the results. And I know this much. He can cut through all them clothing, them bad clothing, and get down to the real problem.
Right.
And see, have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction? And I'm not talking about these bunch of perverts on TV that have it so they can show you some kind of lewd act. I'm talking about a real wardrobe malfunction. You know what that is? Listen to me. Now, when I was working at the finishing plant and all that, it was 120 degrees and you walked in every night. Whether it was April or whether it was January, it was always hot. You walked in there and you stood still. You know why? You didn't run in that because you'd pass out. All we did is push buttons. You know why they did that? They figured out how to make a computer last in that weather. That's why we still out there pushing the buttons. And what would we eat? Anything. Anything. Boy, you talking about we'd bring in pizzas, big old boxes of chips. That's just for one person. We'd eat it all. We would have brought ice cream, but it couldn't stand the weather. Amen. And by the time you leave that night, you've lost 10 pounds that you ate, so everything was fine. Your clothes still fit when you left. Oh, but when I got called by God to the ministry and knew I needed to go to Bible college, I took a little part-time job in a bookstore and was going to college and everything. And I remember the first time I had a wardrobe malfunction. It seems that I didn't quit my eating habits with my 120-degree weather when I didn't have it no more. And I kept the same eating habits and I found out something. You try to stretch that into a pair of something and before long you're going to have a wardrobe malfunction. We was unloading the truck when it happened. The boss said, you've got a problem? I said, why no? Why? It's embarrassing, ain't it? It's embarrassing when it's your clothes that tear up. It's embarrassing when it's you that has the wardrobe malfunction. It's embarrassing when you got to look around and say, well, these were old anyway. I had them 2 weeks.
Uh-oh.
Right? You kids that's in school, you can get out of school one day. You're going to get a job. They're going to say, what size for your uniform? And you're going to tell them, and what you're going to do? They're going to order them things. They're going to come back and they're going to be about 2 sizes too small because mom ain't buying your clothes no more. You're going to say, wait a minute, these must be made in China. They have the wrong size on the right. No, it ain't the wrong size. It's the right size. And the failure of our clothes looks like this. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Right.
So what is that? That's a wardrobe malfunction. That's the failure of them clothes you got on right now. See, since you've been saved, you would like for everybody to think that you're perfect and you never do any wrong and all this other stuff. But these clothes you got on called this flesh, you've had plenty of wardrobe malfunctions, haven't you? And as soon as you sin, you know it, whether anybody else does or not. They may not hear the pants rip, but they know. You know. And listen, we have the failure of our clothes. Our clothes actually fail us. But notice this. I'm glad, thank God, for the furnishing of our clothes in verse number 3. He says this, if so be that we being clothed, we shall not be found naked. We shall not be found naked. Now, the only way to interpret scriptures with scripture, the naked and the clothing he's talking about, look at verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. The clothing, again, he refers to is our soul. Listen, we know that we groan for this thing. We groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed by our heavenly clothing. But listen, he said, if so being clothed, we'd be found not naked. As we look at the furnishing of our clothing, I want to tell you this tonight. There's only one garment you can put on that soul. Just one. Just one. If you look over at Romans chapter 13, let's turn over there. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Here's the only garment that'll work. Romans chapter 13. See, when we look at the failure of our clothes, we see the furnishing of our clothes. Some of you, one day you realized that when you got older and you got married and you had to go out and rent a place and get the lights turned on, and then you needed clothes, you had to go buy them for the first time, and then you know why your mom and daddy said, don't get them dirty. Don't play in them. They cost money.
Right.
I know your daddy fussed. I know he did. He told me he did. He said, do you know how quickly these children can go through clothes? I said, I know. Listen, there's only one garment. Romans 13, verse 14. Look at that verse. He says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that clothing? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So God says, put on something. What does he say, put on? Only one garment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Might I submit to you tonight that he is that robe of righteousness Isaiah talked about? He is the garments of salvation. Listen to this. He is the whole armor of God. That's him. That's what you got to put on is him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't say for one of you do it. He said ye. He meant all of you.
Right.
And listen, when he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, do this too, make not provision for the flesh. Why is that? Because that flesh still ain't saved and you can't perfect it. It'll still do the same things it's always going to do. He said, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. What will that do? It'll give you that one garment you'll need.
Right.
When Christ tells the story of the marriage over there, and he tells about those wedding garments, listen to this. He doesn't distinguish everybody got a different one. He said, go put one on them. When it comes time to go to that wedding in heaven, he's not looking for different styles of wedding garments. He's looking for one. And that one's the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have we have so much trouble in our lives. Boy, we walked in our closet, got to figure out what to wear. I went in a rich man's house one time that we were working on, and he showed us his closet. I was impressed, man. He had more shoes than most women have. All his dress shirts, they was like, you can put two fingers in between each hanger. Had all them suits down through there. And I've not understood this yet, but they were all navy and all the shirts were all white. Teach his own, right? Had all that stuff in there and all laid out there like that. And I thought, that must be hard being him. You got to go in there, walk in this closet as big as my living room, and figure out which direction to go in. And then after you do all that, you got to put it all together, put it on, get everything going, do all this other stuff. And I thought, what a monumental decision. And, you know, when you go to your closet, you got all them choices to make. Do you wear this? Do you wear that? Do you wear this? Do you wear that? Albert Einstein, the genius that invented most of the things we enjoy today, y'all have heard of him. He's a Jew, by the way. Wonder why God gave it to him and not George Washington Carver. Why? Because that man's a Jew, and that's where God gives most good things coming from.
Right.
Amen. Amen and amen. Edison still invented the light bulb, right? Who knows who invented the light bulb for real? Anybody know? Am I right or wrong? Thank you, brother. That was Dr. Mills that answered that question, by the way. If he'd been wrong, he'd been red. But when you go to looking at what Einstein did, he had one set of clothes. He never combed his hair. He just said, you know what? I got bigger things to think about than what color to wear today, so I just bought all the same color. Not a bad idea. Ah, but variety is the spice of life, and you and I couldn't follow that example if we wanted to. We say, I don't know. I gotta have a different color. That's fine. But I'll say this much for you. When you get to heaven, you're going to find out there's only one garment you needed the whole time.
Yep.
Just one. Down here, again, cover it up. But you got to have that one garment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you were worried a while ago when I mentioned size. Look over to Isaiah 45. We go looking at these garments. There's only one garment. There's only one. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, do that thing. Isaiah chapter 45. I'm glad of this one. This is a one size fits all garment. There's only one size. Now, for those of you who are horizontally challenged like I am, you know this. When they say one size fits all, that means except you. That's what it means. And my head's so big that when I go to them hat shops, some real nice hat shops, they say, this one is a fitted hat. And it's one size fits all. Well, when I get that thing on, it squeezes my brain like a headlock, and I about pass out. I said, this ain't one size fits all, pal. They didn't have me in mind in it. And then I remember one time we was going to the gym, they said, you got to get one of them plastic suits to set the sauna in. I went up and found one of them things. That thing said, one size fits all. I went and put it on. It looked like a scuba diver gear. I took it back. I said, this ain't one size fits all here. I went to the store that sold that with the X in front of it. I said, that's the size I need right there. I wasn't going scuba diving. I was going to sit in a hot place with steam and all that stuff. But I'm glad, thank God, in Isaiah 45, verse 22. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And he said, and there is none else. This garment only has one size. Amen. On one size. So what does that let me know? That means you go by the way of the cross. That's the one size. You'll have that one Savior. You'll have that one plan of salvation. God don't have different plans of salvation. I mean, you go hear these liberal preachers preach, and depending if they know that there's several different people there, some different beliefs, they'll preach three or four different plans of salvation. But God says there's only one size.
That's right.
He said, listen, what does that thing say again there? He said, I am God, and there is none else.
Yeah.
One God, one plan of salvation. I hear people say, well, I don't know if repentance, that's a work of man. It can't be involved in salvation. Have you never read where repentance is a gift from God? It's God that granted the repentance, not you wanting to do it.
Right.
Somehow or another, God says, I got this one size fits all garment, and everybody's going to be in this size or you're not going to get in. And he ain't talking about your waistline either.
Come on.
He's talking about salvation's plan. Listen, that one garment with that one size, it does fit all.
Yeah.
So how do you know? Because when he said all have sinned, there's all. And he said God so loved the world, there's all. And I know this, when you get them two alls together, God's garment fits every sinner that comes.
Right.
It's as if when you got there, he already knew and had it tailored made for you to come to it.
Right.
And it's not a different plan than somebody else comes in. It's the same plan with the same Jesus, the same everything. Listen, hey, it's the furnishing of our clothes that God gives. Look over at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We've got one garment in one size. You ever wonder why people don't get saved? There's no variety here. You come to Jesus. That's it. We rode by some stores today that had sales going on. And I noticed that they had all sizes. God still has the same thing going on. One size. Look at this. In Hebrews chapter 9, look down at verse 22. The Bible says plainly, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Can I tell you this? In God's clothing store, there's only one price. And it's already been paid.
That's right.
Man. People are trying to work their way to get God's garment. I wonder how... Listen, you know how ridiculous that is? That's as ridiculous as you going to Walmart saying, I want to get this shirt. It fits me. Can I sweep the floor and get it? You know what they're going to tell you? No. Get out. Pay or leave. And you go into God's store, you say, well, I'll work my way in there. I'll be a Sunday school teacher for giving them right robes of righteousness, that garment of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll do anything for it. God says, you won't do anything for that. It's already paid for. There's nothing you can add to the price of that thing that I'd take. And you're going to say, well, I'm a proud person, and there's no way you're going to give me something for free. And God said, you'll take it for free. You won't take it at all.
Come on.
That's the main problem with folks can't get saved is pride. They want to work for it because they never took a hand out in their life. Well, bless your heart. You know what God's got for us? He's got a garment that's never been worn before that he wants you to put on. It'll fit you, and you can't pay for it. Because if he did open back the price tag and said everybody's got to pay for it, you'd never be able to come up with a price.
Yep.
There's not enough Sunday school classes in the world to teach, not enough choirs to lead, not enough sermons to preach, and not enough songs to sing that you could ever pay for this garment.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. I got a loophole here. It said without the shedding of blood. How about I cut myself? Your blood don't count. Your blood's corrupt. Your blood's from Adam's line. Your blood, listen, your blood is what caused us to get the shape we're in right now. People trying to pay for it in their own blood.
Yeah.
But God sent his only begotten son. He paid for it in his blood, and his blood's God's blood. He was born of a virgin. Listen, hey, listen to this. And he don't have the same type of blood, but that's the type of blood God's looking for right there.
Yes, sir.
And that remission, you know what that is? That's the thing that puts you in that garment. Remission is that forgiveness based on that blood.
That's right.
See, the furnishing of our clothes don't come because of somebody worked to get them there.
Right.
It works because somebody died to get you that garment.
Right.
We were talking earlier about if somebody were to leave an inheritance of $100 million to somebody. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I'm not going to be greedy. Listen, if they just give me $1 million, I figured out how I'd live off of it for the rest of my life. You know how it is? Don't tell your relatives. That's how you do it. Don't take no picture with a check. You see these lottery winners every time. They killed one the other day because they thought he must have all the money in his house. This is not the old West. We don't store it up at the house anymore. We put it in the bank, you know? And besides, I'm sure the government has some kind of law that you can't put that much money at your house unless they get to come count it first.
Yeah, really.
They're going to get theirs, honey. Don't worry. They're going to get theirs.
That's right.
But I noticed something. If we had a savings account of 4%, listen to this. Boy, it's good. 4%. How much is 4% of $1 million? Do you know how much it is? It's as much as you make in a year probably right now or somewhere thereabouts. It's $40,000. Am I right, teacher? Am I right? That's close, right? So I'm good, okay. Now listen to this. Now you can't tell your relatives, you gotta pray to them people at the bank don't talk, and you put that thing in the bank and a year later you got $40,000. Surely you could live off that, couldn't you? How about this? You go to God's economy over here, God's not interested in your interest. He's interested in the blood. He's interested in the size of his garment, not the size you think you need. You ever heard people say, I don't like my lot in life? Guess what? God put you there.
That's right.
He knew exactly what you needed. He knew exactly what you could handle. And he knew exactly what to sling your way and what to keep back. And listen, when he come along and he says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not an idle statement made. Listen, that's a statement made of his son who gave his life for yours. Got up from the third day that your garment may stay on and stay fit forever.
Yeah.
You'll be justified in it.
Amen.
You do know the justification when you look in the mirror and say, that fits. Well, in this mirror, you look in this mirror and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, it fits. I see here he says that thing plainly. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. When God forgives you and clothes you, Thank God you can't never be naked again.
Amen.
Don't die naked tonight. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't die naked.